Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Freedom!
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Thomas Bonvasutto. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing great, Drew. How about yourself?
Just fine. Do I say that in proper Italian?
Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvasutto.
That was incredibly good. Can you say Andrew Vincent Gerald Tignanelli in Italian?
I'm trying to think what Andrew is, but Vincenzo Tignanelli.
How about Gerald? Geraldo.
Geraldo.
Geraldo. Yeah. Tignanelli.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Say your name again. That sounded pretty cool.
Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvisuto.
I like it. You know, if that isn't Italian, I don't know what is.
Welcome,
you know,
to the Italian Hour tonight.
And you actually speak Italian, right, to some degree?
Un po', a little.
A little. You've been studying it a little, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
what were you studying it for? Wasn't there some purpose? Wanted to learn it?
Yeah, there's a great little app out there called Duolingo, and actually one of our clients put me onto it in my former university at Carnegie Mellon. Some folks developed that, so it's pretty cool. It's a free app, and you can do languages. My daughter was working on Spanish, getting ready for a missions trip, and so I've got family in Sicily, so when I call them, they don't speak English, so
really?
And my hands don't come through the phone, so I have to work on my Italian.
So you still contact your family in Italy?
I try, yeah, usually around the holidays.
Really?
Know, so,
So what are they? Cousins? Uncles?
Yeah, they're distant cousins, all the runts removed and all that stuff.
I do. I have some in Naples on my mother's side and some in Calabria on my father's side.
Yeah.
But I've never communicated with them, never an email or a letter or... My parents have. My mother and father, you know, they still write letters, and every once in a while used to call and so forth.
Yeah, then we'll have to make a trip.
No, we'll have to make a trip. Anyway, so we're on an open show tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so it's a totally open show, and we're going to take our listeners' questions.
That's
and we're
right.
going to answer their thing. So whatever. Last week we took calls, but we were on one specific topic with our guest, Kevin Bress, and we were talking about elder care.
Correct.
And, you know, what do you do when that parent's elderly? What do you do when you're concerned that your spouse is going down and you're going to have to spend a lot of money to be able to care for them? And is that going to impair your financial ability? And that's what Kevin was talking about last week.
Right.
If somebody wants to talk about that again this week, we can do our best to answer the questions. Not as well as Kevin would, but we could do a pretty good job on it. But we can talk about anything tonight because it's an open show.
That's
so you
right.
can talk about investments or IRAs or 401ks or retirement or
Social Security.
Yep. And he's coming on soon. Mr.
Yep.
Social Security himself will be on the show within the next
My son's 21st birthday, August the 6th.
August the 6th, is that when he's coming on?
Yeah, that's where we got Jack's lined up.
That's my father's 89th birthday, August the 6th.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And this is birthday month, and when we came at it, I didn't see any gifts yet for you.
I haven't, you know, I don't think there wasn't a single thing here, but that's okay. At the office, they're piling them on me left and right. Every day, there's a new gift. 16 gifts I've got in a month of July so far.
All right, one a day.
One a day. I think you guys give me the free water and soda. You say you can have all you want there, Drew. You just go ahead and enjoy yourself for your birthday. But we're on an open show, and you can call in and ask anything you want, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and income taxes, estates, and so forth and so forth. You know, I wanted to do a quick, did you have something you wanted to say?
I just wanted to remind people that we are now on Twitter.
Twitter.
That's right.
Remind them.
You know, Molly sent out our tweet, so you want to make sure you know what's going on with the show, whether it's an open show or whether we've got a guest coming. And so make sure you follow us on Twitter, @TheFinCon, On Twitter.
And that does a lot of things. Not only does it pre-announce who's coming on the show, but if you miss a show and you want to listen to it, you'll get the podcast when it's ready.
Right.
It also gives all the articles we write. And we're constantly writing articles that are being published in, you know, Forbes or Kiplinger's, or we do a regular for Gettysburg Time and the Hanover something or the other, Hanover
I'm
something
sure.
paper. Yeah, that's where Ryan and his people
Hanover
are.
News.
And
yeah.
So there's quite a few articles we write and publish. Some just that we send to our own clients. And
yep.
But anybody's on our Twitter, we'll be able to get all that tweeted out, as I believe the proper term,
right.
at the FinCon.
That's right.
And
right.
I got callers now, so I might as well go to them. And I'm going to come back
yep.
to my Drew's View when the time comes. Right now we're going to Ruth in Pasadena. Ruth, how can we help you?
Hi there. I was actually just talking to my brother about this. How ironic that I turned the radio on and there you were. I have a house that I was talking about taking my name off and just putting my kid's name on it.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
And very, very bad idea.
Really? Why?
Okay. So I'm assuming you've been in this house a long time.
Yes.
And you probably paid $50 for the house. Now, what did you pay for the house in general? In general, don't tell everyone. You know, so what?
$85,000.
What do you think it's worth now?
At one time it was $400, but I'm guessing now $200 to $250.
Okay, well let's just say $250. All right, and you paid $85, and you probably put what $25.50 into it over the years.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so your cost basis in the house is probably $120,000, $125,000. Is your husband still alive?
No.
When did he pass away?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, and the house was probably worth about $250,000 at that time also?
Yeah.
So your cost basis in the house in general is going to be $125,000 and $60,000, $185,000, but your house is still worth $250,000 or more. And so here's the issue. If you gift that house to the children now, the negative is that the gain on the house is going to be taxable to the children carte blanche whenever it's sold, whether it's during your lifetime or upon your demise. That house gain is going to be taxed to the children. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because if you hold on to the house and you sell it, you'll be able to sell the house tax-free because you get a $250,000 capital gain exclusion because it's your personal residence. Or
actually, I'm not living there anymore.
Where do you live?
I have a house in Pasadena now.
How long have you been out of the house that you wanted to give to them?
7 years.
7 years. Wow, that makes a difference to some degree. What are you doing with the house now for 7 years?
I've been renting it.
You've been renting it. Wow, man. She just changed the whole equation.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
have to start all over,
Ruth.
It's a
new story.
It's a whole new story. But you did live there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it actually gets worse now because because since you've been renting it, you have depreciation you've been taking against the house. So you
actually, I haven't depreciated it at all.
What have you been doing with the rental income?
I've paid taxes on it. The only thing I've deducted is any expenses for damages or, you know, repairs.
So you're just collecting the rental income and just claiming it as income?
Yes.
And not taking any deductions against it?
Well, only if I have to put money out, that's all.
Yeah.
I haven't depreciated the house.
Why did you do that?
Because I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, you know, actually, it can cause a little hiccup, actually. And one of the hiccups is that the IRS can imply that you have been depreciating it, even if you haven't been depreciating it, because you should have been depreciating it.
You know, I always thought that I would move back there.
Yeah, well, that would be a good decision. To move back there, and if you did and lived there for 2 years again, you'd get the $250,000 exclusion.
Right.
So you're planning to hold this house until the day you pass away.
Right.
Whether you leave it to the kids or not.
Right, right. I have another glitch to that. The house I'm in now, I bought it at the worst time, and I'm about $100,000 underwater.
In negative equity.
Right.
Right. That does get to be, you're just a fascinating person to talk to, Ruth, because you give me twists and turns into the answer to this question with every little bit of the equation. So what are you going to do with the house that you're in?
You know what? I'm sorry I'm there. And I'm sorry I didn't walk away from it a couple of years ago. I understand that I could have, I wouldn't have lost anything with my, you know, as far as cancellation of debt, right?
That is correct. They had the, if it was your personal residence and you walked away from it, and the, you wouldn't be taxable income. In 2014 on, it's now potentially taxable income.
Right.
You know, so that is a problem. The answer to your question is this, is that if you hold that house until the day you die, your children will pay no capital gains tax. The only benefit to gift the house to the children is if you're extremely concerned about long-term care wiping out your assets. There could be a benefit to gifting the house to the children, but I would talk to a person like Kevin Bress if that was my concern before I ever did something like that. So the answer to your question is, if you just want to worry about the best tax treatment of the money, do not gift it to the children now. Wait until you pass away and let them get it through the will. If, on the other hand, you're extremely concerned about long-term care, talk to somebody about, like Kevin Bress, and decide how you might want to put that house into something like a Medicaid trust, as they'll call it, a grantor trust, or something of that sort. Ruth, I have to run, but you've definitely given me something to think about here, and it was a great topic, all right?
All right, thank you.
Take care. We got to go to Maggie Hunter in traffic. We'll be right back with our other callers.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We were talking to Ruth. Great question. She had lots of moving parts going on there.
Sure did.
And, you know, I wish that we could look at it, you know, specifically with her and say, you know, these are what you need to think about. But, you know, that's a common thing. Want to put the kids onto the deed while you're alive. It's a disaster most of the time. There are unique exceptions to the rule, but normally I would say do not do it. Anyway, Diane in Parkville, how can we help you?
Hi. I have a question. I am a personal representative of my mom's estate, and I am not sure, because I keep hearing different numbers, if there's a compensation to be in that role.
Oh, absolutely. There's a very specific fixed amount that the state of Maryland will allow you to have, and if challenged, you know, the courts can reduce it, and you can appeal it and so forth. Do you have siblings?
I do.
Okay. So do you intend to take the compensation? Well, let me ask you this question. Your mother's estate was worth more than $50,000, more than $100,000?
Really, the only thing in her her estate is her home, and it was just sold for like roughly $250,000.
Okay, so the fee goes like this: 9% of the first $20,000.
Okay.
Plus 3.6% of everything over $20,000. So it's $1,800 plus 3.6% of $230,000. Let's call it, if it was a $250,000 estate.
Okay.
And that's compensation to you. That's, you know, that's taxable income. You report it as other income on line 21.
Okay. Now, the other question is, the attorney who is just running this through, this, it's pretty much strictly just the house, what is their compensation?
Now, that gets now you're asking an interesting question. So if you pay an attorney to do some of the work, he's going to be, he or she's going to be paid on an hourly rate, let's call it, unless he agreed to a fixed rate with you. Whatever you pay the attorney is going to be deducted from that fee that I just quoted you.
Okay, because he said the same thing you told me. He said he's going to, you know, charge 9% of the first $20,000 and 3.6% of everything else.
He should not. He should not charge you like that.
Oh.
You should just pay him an hourly rate, and if he doesn't agree to that, you need to find yourself a new attorney, and you need to make sure that that attorney doesn't doesn't, what's the word for it? You know, doesn't exaggerate the hours that they actually put into it.
Because somewhere along the line, people have been throwing around this number 6.9% of something or other. And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm hearing all these different percentages. And that's
I don't know where 6.9 comes from. That one just doesn't ring a bell to me at all.
Okay.
So I'm assuming she's in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 9% of the first 20,000, 3.6%. And if he takes that fee, if you gave him 9% of 20,000, 3.6% of everything over that, and that's his fee, you get nothing.
Well, he's the one who told me, I think he's the one who said 6.9, and then he would take half of that. And so I think that must be where I'm getting mixed up. So
I have no idea
what
that.
I'm totally confused now. But I'm glad to know what the real numbers are, and that helps me a lot.
Yeah, you know, there's a possibility that he calculated the actual fiat and divided it by the size of your mother's net estate, and it came up with 6.9.
Okay.
That's a theoretical possibility, but without knowing the exact numbers, because keep in mind the fee comes off of the net estate after expenses and
right.
mortgages and things like that.
You know, it's very difficult because siblings are out of state. It's been a tremendous amount of work.
It's a difficult issue, Diane, because if you take it, you're damned. And if you don't take it, you're damned. You know?
Well, actually, my siblings are good with it, and there's another account that would just be written out of it. It wouldn't be any kind of a problem. But it feels like an awful lot to do if the lawyer's going to get that much, too. That's all.
Well, you need a new attorney, because if he's talking about taking that on this estate isn't that complicated either.
No, very simple.
And you could have done this yourself with just a little bit of help from the attorney.
Yeah, well, I feel like that too. You just don't know when you're doing things.
It's the first time. It's scary as all get out. But
yeah.
You know,
and you know you're emotional too.
I understand wholeheartedly. So, but I would not pay an attorney anything other than hourly, and I would make sure that their hours are quoted to you up front, that you get a good idea of what they might do, and you shouldn't be paying more than $350 an hour is what I would consider to be reasonable.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
All right, Diane. Take care. And Bob in Arnold, are you still there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, I'm retired from the federal government. I'm 78 years old. I just got married about 6 months ago.
Congratulations.
I wrote to find out whether it'd be worth to put my wife on my retirement, and God, it's complicated. Is there anybody that I can talk to about this?
No, your
feasible?
Your pension is with what group? You said you retired from who?
Civil service. It's the civil service itself.
Had you ever had a beneficiary on your your? You did.
Yes. My first wife. She died.
Okay. And so, if I remember correctly, the federal government will allow you to recalculate with a new beneficiary designation.
Yeah.
So, but they will reduce your pension accordingly if you do that.
Yeah, something like $142,000. And intuitively, I don't think it's worth it, but it would be nice probably to talk to somebody, whether it's...
Well, you should find a financial advisor that works on a fee-only basis to do the calculations with you, because there's two parts of the calculation, Bob. Part one of the calculation is it worth putting your wife's name on it compared to what they want to charge you? Part two of the equation is, does your wife even need it, considering what other assets and what other income she would have if something happened to you? So it's a two-part equation. And you have to weigh all the pluses and minuses before you make any decision with, you know, that would potentially diminish your joint
exactly.
income capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to think about. And
Do that?
Well, I mean, we are financial advisors. We are financial people. We're CPAs and so forth, and we're fee-only. So if you wanted to talk to us, we'd be more than happy to do it with you.
Okay.
And we can do it over the phone if you want to, or you can come up here to Hunt Valley, and we can sit down and figure it out. somehow or another, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
You take care. You know, that's an interesting question. We've seen that before, people trying to make that decision. It's a complicated one. And, again, there's two parts of the equation. Does she need it? And then what's it going to cost if I do it? Anyway, we got to take a break with Maggie Hunter in traffic. And, Steve, if you'll hold on, we're going to be back to you on your 403B, and we're on an open show. So if you want to call on, now's the time to get on, 410-922-6680. Maggie, take it away.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli here with Thomas. I don't know how to say that, Bombasuto, in the sense of the way you said it earlier in the show. But we're here on an open show, and if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, and call in and ask any question. We've had questions already tonight on pension recalculations, giving a house away now versus leaving it at death. We had, what was that other one that
The estate administration fees and attorney costs and all that.
Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. And now, right now, we have Steve in Kent Island about 403B. Steve, how can we help you? Steve is gone, I think. Steve, Steve in Kent Island, are you still there? Normally it would go beep, 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 or something like that if he had actually hung up on us. All right, we're going to find out if Steve's still there. We're going to put him on hold with Noah, and we're going to, you know, say that we now have totally open lines for everyone who wants to call and ask their question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask your question, 410-922-6680. We lost Steve on the 403B. I wonder what his question would have been on a 403B. Those 403Bs are fascinating little creatures.
Yep.
They are for strictly the only – it's a pension plan, like a 401K.
Similar, another code of the IRS.
Yeah.
In the IRS code.
Yeah. And it's strictly a contributory plan for employees of either educational, medical, research, or religious groups, you know? So normally you're looking at not-for-profit organizations,
right,
and they're the ones that can do it. And the only uniqueness of a 403B is the only investment you can invest in are mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot own an individual stock in a 403B, whereas in a 401K, you know, a client can have a full brokerage firm, a brokerage account, and buy any stock, bond, mutual fund, CD, anything they want to, which is that with a 403B, they can only own a mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're going to Charlie in Towson. Charlie, how can we help you?
Yeah, I had a question about a Roth IRA.
You know, that was going to be my Drew's view today. But go ahead, Charlie. Ask your question. We'll make it Charlie's question.
Sure. I have not been able to get any clear answer to this. I had a traditional IRA in the 90s. Roths didn't exist. Then after Roths were invented in, like, 99 and
98.
2001, I converted my traditional to a Roth. And now I wanted to make a withdrawal. I'm 57 years old, and I wanted to know if the if I withdraw the contributions, is that taxable? And it seems to say they seem to treat conversions as different from contributions, although I paid taxes on it when I converted it.
Right. Now, why did you think I would give you a clear answer in any way, shape, or form?
I figured no one else had a good nobody had a clear answer. I figured I'd give you guys a shot because it sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Well, Charlie, actually, this is an easy question, and I can give you an absolutely clear answer. And I am 100%, 150% sure of the answer. And the answer is, yes, you can take the contributions anytime you want, assuming that this was a conversion that you did and finalized in 98 or any time prior to 2009. So if it's been 5 years or more, you absolutely can take it out because there are the ordering rules in Roth IRAs. And the ordering rules go like this. Your contributions are first and foremost. They come out first. Let's assume that you didn't put any contributions in the Roth. In other words, you didn't do any $6,500 contributions. The second thing that comes out of the Roth IRA under the ordering rules would be conversions. And conversions that have been converted more than 5 years before and you paid taxes on them are now considered tax-free distributions. If, though, they were in the first 5 years, they would be subject to the 10% penalty. You are well past that, Charlie. You are golden on this one.
So I can withdraw the contributions and pay neither income tax nor a 10% penalty.
Absolutely. And when you say contributions, again, Charlie, I want to make clear, you can take the conversion out that you have been in excess of 5 years from the date of that conversion.
When did you convert, Charlie?
98
for one of them and 2000 or 99 for the other. More than 5 years.
Absolutely. So you can take the conversion out because it's been more than 5 years. And did you ever put any 6,500s into this account? You know, or 6,000. You know, every year, you know, if you made less than so much, you could put in some money into a Roth contribution. Did you ever do that?
Not since I converted it. No, they've just sat there.
Okay, so then
that my employer contributes to that I put money in. These just sit there as a backup.
See, so the words you're using are just a little different than what I'm saying. Contributions are those yearly 5,000s or whatever. So that's
yeah,
the order.
Put any money into them.
So you don't have any contributions you can withdraw, but you can do the second thing, which were conversions that are older than 5 years. You're golden on taking that converted money out without penalty. And when you wait 2.5 years more from right now, you can take everything out tax-free. You're golden, Charlie, in essence.
The amount of converted I can take out without tax or penalty.
Absolutely. You and I are on the same page now, and you are golden on that, and you don't have to worry at all. There is no penalty. There is no tax. You've already paid the tax on it. You can good to go, my friend.
And the question is should you? You know, because there's still more to that. You know, you got
to
look at other things.
Well, he has to look at does he have other options?
Right.
Because this money's growing tax free.
Right.
But if he's obviously, I'm going to assume he's done that homework. But that's a great question. You know, should you? Are there other options for the money than taking it out?
Because once the Roth money has such great characteristics to
it,
you can't take it out and put it back in. You know, because you found another source or have another.
All right, Charlie. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Good going. I don't know why he expected us to give him a clear answer there.
Yeah, it was clear as mud. No.
Yeah. Claudia in Baltimore, how can we help you?
Well, my granddaughter is 13 years old.
Okay.
And she just went out and got her first job.
Oh, fantastic.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was just so proud. She's actually getting a paycheck.
Absolutely.
Now,
okay.
I understand that she can put this money into a Roth IRA as long as she has income.
As long as she has earned income, she can definitely start a Roth IRA. But because she's under the age of 18, Claudia, she's going to have to do what's called a custodial Roth IRA, where an adult sets the account up for her benefit and oversees the money until she turns 21 years of age. So, yes, absolutely, she can start a Roth, and as long as an adult sets it up for her as her custodian, it can be you if you wanted to, and she can only contribute up to the amount of her W-2 wages in the box on that W-2 form. She can only contribute up to what she makes or $5,500, whichever is lesser.
Well, now, I'm thinking that it's better for her to do that than to just put it in a regular savings account.
Well, there's absolutely, if she doesn't ever, you don't think she'll ever need the cash from this money, absolutely. You put money into a Roth IRA at 13,
mm-hmm.
and you just invest it modestly. At 59, she's going to have a boatload of tax-free money from that little job that she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Warren Buffett's snowball concept. Take a little bit of snow and start rolling it down the hill. And when you roll it down the hill tax-free, it's really going to grow into a monster in the future. So, yeah.
That's what I was trying to tell her. Yeah.
Now, you know, here's the thing, Claudia. A lot of granddaughters are not going to be wanting to take their little paycheck, and they're going to want to do something with it. And what I see is a lot of grandparents go out there and say, okay, you made $800 this year. I'm going to put $800 into a Roth IRA for you because, I want to encourage you to learn how to start saving for the future. And I'm going to start the ball rolling for you, and then I'm going to encourage you to start adding to it in the future. So if you can do it, that's something you might want to consider.
Well taken.
All right, Claudia. Good question.
Yep.
I was going to talk about Ross, and here these people are calling in talking about Ross.
Great. Well, we'll have to fill in the blanks.
Paul and White Marsh, you're just going to have to hold on for a few minutes, and I got to do something for a second. I've got to take a pause. But we're on an open show tonight. We still have about 10 minutes. We could probably take another caller or two, 410-922-6680. Right now we're going to Mark Thibodeau and weather.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. We got to fly through a couple calls here. We got about three on the line, Thomas, and we'll see what we can do.
All right.
Paul in White Marsh, how can we help you? Paul in White Marsh, come in, Paul. Earth calling Paul in White Marsh. All right, putting him on hold, Noah. You see if he comes back. If not, I'm going right to Cindy in Owings Mills. How you doing, Cindy?
Good. How are you?
Good. What can we help you with?
My took care of a grown man with disabilities, and both of my parents passed away. And when he sold his house, he put like $50,000 in CDs. We cannot find the paperwork for the CDs. How do you find out where they are?
So let me start over again. So somebody took care of somebody. Your mother took care of somebody for...
Yes.
And your mother and father have both passed, and this person that she took care of put some money in CDs.
Right.
Is that what you're asking?
Right. He's 60 years old now.
But he's still alive?
Yes.
Does he get statements at his house?
No, nothing.
Well, you mean he doesn't get anything?
He don't get anything. He just told me that my parents had the paperwork.
Your parents had the paperwork. And
uh-huh.
Have you looked through your parents' files?
Yes, and we could not find it.
You know any banks that they would have possibly used?
Well, that's what we did. We went around to each bank and asked.
He went with you?
Yes, he personally went with me.
And they said nobody had anything?
Right.
So is there a possibility your parents never did a CD?
No, he went and did that. Oh. I mean, he takes care of his own bills and everything. He just can't be...
So he went and did it himself?
Yes.
And he can't remember what bank he did it with?
No.
You're positive. I'm just kidding. I'm having a hard time putting my hands around that. He has no idea what bank he could have done it with?
No.
Well, here's what one thing I would strongly suggest is I would do an unclaimed property search under his name. You know how to do that?
Yes, I have, and nothing's come up.
Nothing's come up?
No.
And how many banks have you gone to locally?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes. Like, he used to be with Signet, and then they sold out to someone else.
In Wachovia now, I think.
Right. I mean, we've been to every bank in the Reisterstown, yeah. Owings Mills area.
And they're looking for his Social Security number and not finding anything.
Right.
Have you gone to his tax returns for the last 4 or 5 years and seen what interest might have been reported on his tax return?
He don't do taxes because he just gets disability.
Okay. Have you gone and, I mean, well, then, you know, this year coming up, 2015, he's going to get some tax statements if anyone's paying him any interest. And 2013, he just got tax statements if anybody's paying him any interest. Could they have used your mother and father's address instead of his?
Well, it was the same address. He lived with them.
Okay, so...
Nothing has come.
Then it's impossible. Then there's nothing out there. I'm sorry that he's possibly not remembering properly.
Okay. Maybe they matured and the money was spent. You know,
it's possible. Maybe mom and dad used the money for something. He did it, but the money matured and they had to use it for something.
I mean, it was like the late 80s, but wouldn't he have to take that out, or they could?
I have no idea. You know, I'm really kind of lost. I could, you would go back to as many tax returns as you could to try to figure out where this money could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not an unclaimed property, and unclaimed property literally will hold out there for an immense amount of time, I doubt seriously there's anything there. You know, I'm sorry, but I can't come up with any other ideas. And I've had these weird situations before, and we had to try to find it. And but you've exhausted all the ones I know of.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
All right. Take care. George in Rosedale. George, how can we help you?
Yes, I turned 65 in December, and I started collecting Social Security, and I'm still working. My wife is like 63. She's collecting Social Security. And I'm working to keep my medical insurance up. I have a high deductible insurance, and I've been putting money, about $2,000 this year so far, into an HSA.
Okay.
And the insurance company notified me that's not allowed to be done.
So how old are you now?
I'm 65.
65, and you signed up for Medicare.
Medicare, and they put me on Medicare Part A. And because I have Medicare Part A, I'm not allowed to put money into an HSA before taxes.
That's correct.
Okay, so now I have to take that $2,200 out, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do with that, or what? Can I put it maybe into a 401k or something, or an IRA to not have to pay the taxes on it, or am I in trouble?
No, you could just take it out. I mean, you can put it in an IRA. Are you earning money?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're earning money, yeah, you can put it into an IRA as long as you're not earning more than like $90,000.
No, I might make 45 or so.
Yeah, so you're doing fine. So you
now, what do I have to do? Roll it over or what?
No. You can just take it out as an excess contributor, you know, as long as you get the money out of the HSA before April 15th of 2015, you're fine. You just do it as, oops, I made a mistake. I need to get the money out and just, you know, they'll just do a little form, and you have to pay some taxes on some interest you might have earned for the few months that it was there. And then once the money's out, you can throw it in an IRA and take it as tax deductible. Yeah, that's absolutely perfectly fine.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. All right, real quick, I got to see if I can get this in. Jim in Ellicott City.
Yes, hi. I got a two-part question, the easy one first. I understand Maryland's estate tax law has been out of sync with the federal law, which has a $5.35 million lifetime exclusion. It's pegged right now, I think, at $1 million, and there was some legislation.
It's going up to $1.5 million next year, $2 million in 16,
okay.
$3 million in 17, $4 million in 18, and then it'll be equal to the federal exclusion in 19. You want to hold on, and I'll answer the rest of this question, okay?
Sure, thank you.
Hold on, Jim. Good question. Tom Bombasuto.
That's right. They were on the CFP exam this weekend.
Yeah.
Two guys taking it.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.